All right. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse. What we want is verse 2 and verse 4. 2 and 4. But what we'll do is read down from 2, 1 through 7. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And we're going to stop right there and let's open here with prayer, then we'll continue. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for this privilege to meet and to study a word together. We thank you for those who've come out tonight. We pray that our hearts and minds are clear and that we might be open to receive your word, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. We pray that the words might be lifted off the pages into our hearts and minds, and it might bring forth fruit that may abound to your glory and to our account. We thank you again for the time we have here. We pray the Holy Spirit would be the teacher and enlighten us, and that the lessons may not be hindered by anything that we would say or do here. We pray for those who are without, Ed and Annette, who are not here tonight. We pray for, again, for those who are present. Lord, strengthen us according to our needs as we go forward in your word. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, we're picking this up, like I said, we were in Hebrews, but since we have some visitors, we'll break off from that. And, you know, I picked this subject because I was thinking last night, I saw, it was not last night, I was off Friday. And I just happened, I came in and I sat down to refresh myself. I was working outside and I cut the TV on, and the talk was on. And, you know, they had the round table. Yeah. And
the View with the women?
No.
Or the talk on Fox with the...
The women. Fox? Yeah.
The women, okay. Yeah. Okay, but it was women, okay.
So they were on the round table, and the story came up about the man who refused to make a cake for the homosexual couple, and they were all in an uproar. And long short of it is, everyone gave a reason why that man should not have done that. And he was standing on a scriptural principle, and they would say, "Well, I thought the scripture was about love and acceptance and forgiveness. If he should have made that cake with joy." So, I thought, in each one of you may have an opinion about that. But it always boils down to this. What saith the scripture?
Amen.
Now, it's more than that. It's what saith the scripture, rightly divided. That is, what does the scripture say about that today to you? And the whole question could have been answered. And I'm sitting there, I said, that's the problem of not knowing what God is doing today. Because they were back in Leviticus, they were back in Exodus. And see, we know that part. We can see that. We know that much, right? That all this is Old Testament. We know that part, right? So, well, most people do, because they didn't know it. They were back in Leviticus and all. But we know, for the most part, that That's law. And we don't operate under the law. Okay? But we look here, and this is Paul. And we'll come up on that too. This is Paul. And you might say, well, who's that? Paul's writing. He's an apostle. He's writing. He says, and this is just out of a book. He's writing to his son, Timothy, to set some things in order in a city, Ephesus, that he sent him to be an overseer or a pastor over. And you know what? If there's nothing else that we need today, and that's for somebody to be over these places, to set things in order. When I say these places, and these churches, in these different cities, well, just because you stand in a pulpit doesn't mean that you're right. Just because I'm standing up here doesn't mean I'm right. I could stand up here for 20 years. And guess what?
Be wrong.
Do you think that's possible?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. I was getting ready to meddle. I was like, do you think it's possible for your pastor to be wrong? Oh, no. No way. Not my pastor. So he says, he says in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, you know what? Let me do this first. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. Because you start off a letter, you at least this kind of lays a little groundwork here. Chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of what?
Jesus Christ.
By the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Is that credibility?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. He said, look, I was watching TV. You know what? Everybody now is an apostle. Everybody. I won't say everybody, but you turn on TV, you know what? Fred Price, he said, I'm an apostle now. It was about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe longer. He says, I'm an apostle. Don't call me Pastor Price anymore. Call me Apostle Price. Okay. Whose commandment was that by?
The commandment of men.
This is where this comes in. Is what is that? Mm-hmm. What is an apostle, and how mm-hmm. can anybody? How can anybody be one?
Sent by God.
With and the times where he sent apostles. It's over. You know how I know that? Because everything that God has to say,
He said it already.
How do you know that? Because you're holding it.
Yes.
You're holding it right here. So you walk in there and it says, Tyler, I'm Apostle Tanner, and for a small donation, I can tell you what God wants from you today. I'm saying that kind of tongue in cheek, but that's the first thing that comes up.
Filthy lucre.
That's the first thing that comes up. That's the last thing that comes up. Don't take my word for it. Just cut the TV on. You won't go 5 minutes before that guy says this. In some way, he's going to say this. Money. Am I right? Okay. You might be lucky if you end up with a salvation out of it.
You'll use that to guilt you into
that. Yeah.
He might say, well, Christ, he don't want you poor. Or Christ wants you to support me, but as far as that, salvation, you're not going to hear that too much. But Here he says, 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions. Oh, you know what? I said we're at 1, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Where are we now?
Yeah, back at 1. Back at 1.
Okay.
Just for a minute. 1 Timothy 1, Bob. 3. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And he's telling his son, Timothy, he says, I left you here to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And doctrine is simply teaching with the aim to persuade and reform. That is to change your behavior and your thinking. That's what the doctrine is for. He says, but I'm telling you to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Other than what, he said, other than what I gave you. Okay. Now, verse 12, just to give you an idea, when Paul says that, you got to figure, well, who is this guy? And as my old English teacher would say, who died and made him boss? Well, that's Christ. He says, verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 13.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Okay.
I actually had a question. I was thinking about something, but you can finish.
Okay.
Okay. Paul and Saul are the same person.
Okay. Saul was his Jewish name, and Paul is his Gentile name.
Okay.
Or you can say it this way. Saul was his pre-saved name. Paul was his post-saved name.
Okay.
Okay. All right. He says, and the grace of our Lord, 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should believe hereafter, which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, just from that, we see a little bit about his past record. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. He said, but he obtained mercy, and the Lord changed him from a blasphemer, from a persecutor, to an injurer, and he changed him to a what? To a pattern. What do you do with a pattern?
You duplicate it.
You duplicate it. You follow it. He says, now, everybody after me will get in just like me. He said, I got in because I what?
Obtained mercy.
Obtained mercy. He didn't work for that position. And guess what? You won't work for yours.
All right.
He says, I got saved by grace, by his mercy, by his long suffering. And he said, and if you want to get in, guess what?
You will too.
You will too. You know what? But this gets rid of everything else. This gets rid of the money. Right? It gets rid of the duty. When I say duty, you know, my usher. It's usher day. You got usher day? Yeah. She smiled. She must be on the usher duty. You like, I'm getting something for that. No. If the church give it to you, yeah. But you know what? you get to God, he's going to say, why should I give you any favor at all? You said, I ushered for 20 years. You know what he's going to say?
It depends.
No, you know what? You know what he's going to say? You won't believe this. You know what he's going to say? What's the usher? He won't. No way. He says he made him a pattern for those who come after to believe. Chapter 2, verse 1. We get to our beat. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, this is the day, if I don't know if you guys keeping up with the current events, but this is a day where we should be worried about living a quiet and peaceable life. Everywhere in the world is unrest. Even with us, it's just not on a higher level. But we've been conditioned by the TV where it's all normal. You can see, you know what, you turn on the news and 40 people killed in Boston. And you say, oh, that's a shame. Click.
Yeah.
You're conditioned. But when was the last time, let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer this, when was the last time you prayed for the president? For the government? For the city government? For the police? You say, that's a shame. Somebody ought to do something about these people. Well, last time you prayed for the people, for the rulers, that we could live, you know what? That we could live, go out and live a quiet life. I'm just throwing it out there, you know.
It was rhetorical,
right? You don't have to answer that. I know I don't do it every day. He says, this is the reason. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth.
That sounds like two different things.
That's a key verse right there. He says, God wants all men what? To be saved.
And
wait a minute. I thought that was coming in the truth. That would get you saved, right? He said, no, that just gets you saved. But you can be saved and ignorant. Like I saw the ladies around that table, I'm not saying that they weren't saved. But when they started talking about truth, let me be more specific. Truth for today, they all missed it. You say, how do you know that? Because number one, I know who this is. And I know who Paul is. I know what an apostle is. And I certainly know who Christ is. And I know who his father is. So I know he sent his son. His son sent this man, Paul. That made him an apostle. And he had to have a message, because that's what an apostle is. And he said the message is what'll get you saved and right. And it'll give you truth. for today. Did he send Moses?
Sure.
He sent him for that time.
For that time.
Yeah.
For that time.
What about Peter?
For that time.
James?
Yeah, that time.
John?
That time.
Thomas?
Time.
Bartholomew? Judas? Philip? Huh?
Time.
How you know?
The same scripture.
All right, I'm just checking.
Yeah.
All right. But, you know, I'm saying that. We're going to read it in a minute. He says, it's God's will, he said, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? Just to show you. If a man wanted to be saved in Noah's day, he just believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
No.
Huh?
He didn't know about the Lord Jesus.
What would he do?
No.
He said, a guy comes up to Noah. He said, listen, man, I heard there's something getting ready to happen.
Get on the boat.
He says, I want to be saved.
Salvation back then.
What will I do? What must I do?
Get on board.
He said, get on board. And he said, you know what? It's a little crowded on your boat. I want to do what?
My own boat.
I'll make my own boat. I want to make my own boat. You know what you say? Good luck with that. Because you know what? God told Noah, he said, now when I tell you about my boat, he said, it's some dimensions to my boat. And cut every board this length, 30 cubits, 50 cubits, 30 cubits, and make it three levels. And pitch it in and out with pitch. And put a window in it.
In the top.
I want it on the side where I can see out.
That's not what I said.
That's truth. He said, do it this way. Okay? Now today, we know that. We know that. Let's get a little closer to the sticking point. Suppose I'm in Jesus' day. Certainly he knows how to tell you how to get saved, right? Mm-hmm. I go up to Jesus. I say, Jesus, what must I do to be saved? Mm-hmm. And he say, oh, just believe I'm going to die for you. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute now. He wouldn't say that because what?
He hadn't died.
He hadn't died yet. He's still walking around. He said, well, what must I do? You know what he said? You know what? That's interesting. I bet you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I bet you I usually go with the 80-20 rule. 80% of people wouldn't know what Jesus told them to be saved. I'm out because I know.
Is it to believe in your heart? Like, do you have to believe it for yourself?
Believe it in your heart. You have to believe it for yourself. Anybody want to second that?
No.
Add to it?
Depends on what you believe.
No.
Believe what in your heart?
Now, watch this. Look at... I have to find this verse. John.
Are you looking for the rich young ruler?
That's that'll do.
Matthew
19? Let's try that. I can quote it, but I want you to read it because it's
a,
huh? Because you're just a man.
Just
19:16.
All right.
And not an apostle, right? And behold, 19:16, Matthew 19:16. Ready? And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, You got, just waiting there. Get to the last book was Malachi. Is it Malachi? Last book?
1916.
He says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, believe in your heart."
Keep the commandments.
Oh, wait a minute. What? Was that your answer? I didn't say anything, did I? I didn't say anything. I just said, I'm going to replace what he said with what she said. And that would make me what? Would that make me true?
No.
That would be what? Well, you said Tiffany? That would make Tiffany what? That would make Tiffany's answer what?
Wrong.
I didn't say that. If it ain't right, it's what?
Wrong.
She was sincere.
Yes.
She was honest.
Yes.
But it wasn't what? It wasn't true. It wasn't personal. And if you know what, if you believe in your heart, you will say, you know what, I was wrong. I'm going to do what was true. Right? No problem, Lord. No problem, Lord. I didn't write that, right? Look, I thought something. I was wrong. I'm going to switch. Because even though I believed it in my heart, what?
Wrong.
I want to be what?
Right.
If I'm right, I could be what?
Saved.
But if I stick to my truth, I might end up unsaved. But I'm sincere. And I believe it. It won't work, will it? Let God be true.
Every man a liar.
See that? They know the verses. I didn't even finish. Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay. He says, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Mm-hmm. He saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, he didn't list all 10. What's the first one?
Oh, you mean that he said, or the one that's in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20?
No, I'm saying
the first one that Jesus said.
No, I'm saying first one, period.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul.
Right. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul. Okay, watch this. The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" He too smart.
He's deluded.
Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man can hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, the Lord, we see that he had a whole different criteria to being saved. You know what that's called?
Rightly dividing.
Rightly dividing. It's called something else too.
Progressive revelation.
That is, as time goes on, things change.
God, audience changes.
Audience changes. God gives more information. Which means, you know what? Truth could change.
New truth.
I mean,
the truth doesn't change.
How many heard this? It's replaced.
Yeah, there you go.
God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, I mean, that kind of tells you
He talks to different people at different times with different instructions. No, well, we say this, though. Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, forever.
Sure, his character never changed.
Look, was Jesus Christ the same in Noah's day? Mm-hmm. Even though he was pre-incarnate. But his message changed, didn't it?
Yeah.
If it didn't change, we would all be looking for the boat builder right now. Just to know where it is when it started coming down, we'd know where to go. Nobody thinks about a boat today. You know why? Because
we're not eating from a tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right. Because what? The truth changed. So we know that we know that truth changes.
It's like his word is updated to different.
Yeah, it's amendments.
Look, we're talking about 2,000 years. Bob, that's a long things changed in the last 20 years.
I don't think the truth changes. And I don't think God's character changes. I think the covenant that he has with different groups of people that are different.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the truth regardless.
Right. The point is,
because
it was this way, but now it's this way.
The covenant is what's different.
Well, it's the audience he's addressing.
Yeah, the truth to the Hebrews and the truth to the Gentiles. You know,
all we want to agree on is this. However you get there,
it's
different.
All
right? Yes, it's different.
It's all truth. It's all right. Just different.
Now, back to Timothy.
All
right. So, and he said, now he says, Paul says, now he says, I'm a pattern. You have to follow me. He said, because I have the latest
information. The knowledge.
I have the latest update. You know what? I was on my laptop went out today and I had to go to the office and I logged onto another computer and it said, your version of Google Chrome needs to be updated.
Salvation's not going to work for you.
I don't like it. What if I say, you know what? I don't like it. I don't like that version. I like my old version.
Uh-oh.
I believe my old version is good.
I want to follow the law.
You know what? I could not go any further until it says, there's a box. There's another box. It said, no. And it says,
go.
Please update. Whatever. Did you see that?
Okay.
It's no thanks. Not right now. So if I couldn't even get on it without saying please update. I would have gotten no work done. I probably should have clicked that one. But Paul said this. He says, verse 16, howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Chapter 2, He says, verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now, what we do know this from this verse, God wants all men to be saved.
Yes.
He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says he wants all men to be saved and. He wants all men to come into the knowledge of the truth. And we know this. Most of us stop there. We stop at being saved.
That becomes the destination instead of the...
Now, right. Now, are you familiar with Corinthians?
What?
Corinthians. Corinthians. In the Corinthians. Okay. I'm going to read this verse for you. This is what... They got saved, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Okay. How do you know they got saved?
Because Paul calls them saints and sanctified in chapter 1.
He calls them saints and sanctified, right?
Past tense.
What's another reason why? This is a trick question. What's another reason why you know they got saved?
Paul's writing.
He's writing to them. Ding, 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 ding. Right. Okay. Chapter 1. Oh, no. Chapter 1, or chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren," this is to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined..." You know what? I've conditioned myself to look at the words because I know that He puts them there for a reason. For you to read them and believe them. Now, we just read, but watch the words. "And I, brethren..." Who's that talking?
To the Corinthians.
"When I came to you..." Who's that? "When I came to the Corinthians, came not with excellency of speech..."
No fancy words.
I didn't use big three syllables. You know what? When you turn on the TV, that's all you see is the orators. Don't you? Oh, yeah.
They can get loud.
Yeah.
Boisterous.
He says, "I came..." That's not how I came. "Or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why you do all that, Paul? "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but what?" Now, my pastor used to tell me this. He said, when you hear a guy and he's talking fast, you know, I do a lot of writing, but you know, he said, when you see a guy talking fast and using big words, he said, just shut your eyes and listen. Don't look at him, just listen. He said, and after a while, you find out.
Big fat zero.
He's just going in circles. He ain't saying nothing.
Big fat nothing burger.
Because you know what? If he ain't taking you to a verse,
come on now.
He ain't saying nothing.
Yes.
Listen, if he ain't taking you to a verse, he's not saying anything unless he's quoting a verse. He'll spend an hour showing you how smart he is, how fast he could talk, how enticing he could be. And when you get through, you're going to be just like the eunuch. You say, who's the eunuch? See what I mean? You're going to be going home and you're going to say, did you hear what he said? And you say, yeah. Do you know what he meant? Not really. Do you know how to be saved? Nope.
How much did you buy the jet for?
How long you been going there? 5 years? Like, what must you be to say? You know what? I don't know. And you're going to need a Philip. You know, who is Philip? See? You'll need Philip to catch you and say, understand what?
Come up in my chariot.
Listen, he said, Paul said, I didn't come that way. Verse 6, how be it? Even though, he says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained. Listen, God ordained this wisdom before the world for what?
Our glory.
Okay, listen. He said God had something in his mind before the world, and he called it what?
Wisdom. Pointed out right there, eternity past.
How about that? But just because the chart is here, she's talking about right here.
Before Adam and Eve and all that.
Amen. Before time. He had something in his mind that he wanted you to have. Us, since we're all here. You say, how could that be? That's what makes it so wise. Before you even got here, he said, I got something in mind for all those who come at this particular time. Well, I won't use that. At this particular time, when I give this message,
which would be the new truth.
Which would be the new truth.
Which is Paul.
Which is right here.
Yeah.
That says what?
Grace. Thank you, Lord.
Wait a minute. You mean it wasn't right here?
No. Nope.
How you know it wasn't right here?
Nope. Because that was Paul wasn't saying yet.
Who wrote Corinthians?
Paul.
To who?
To the church.
He said, I'm telling you about what?
Grace.
And the wisdom that God had back here. He didn't have it. Noah didn't have it. He didn't have it. You say, why not?
Wasn't revealed.
Okay.
He wasn't the audience.
Surely they had it.
No.
That was just Israel.
Nope.
Not us.
Not until, see what, look. He said what?
A mystery.
It's only a mystery. Well, it's not now. It was a secret.
Right.
But it's been in the book for what?
2,000 years.
But you know what? I will say this. Sometimes they joke about this. They say, if you want to keep stuff secret,
put it in the book.
Because we don't what? We don't read.
We don't read our Bible.
We don't read. Hidden in plain sight. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He said, Tiffany, the book you have right there, he said, I planned and planned and planned to put something in that book for you, for your glory, for you to rejoice in. Not just to be saved, he said, but what? That you might know what I'm doing. He said, and I put it in the book for that very reason. See, if I'd have said, well, I'm going to give it to so-and-so. You know, you see that one commercial where the guy climbs up the mountain and he got this monk, he's sitting right there. And he said, oh, wise one, what's the key to living? And then the guy, if he makes it up there, and the guy tells him something silly, you know. But he said, no, he said, you can go buy this at the dollar store. Anyone Isn't that something? God said, I put this gold mine where you can get it. Because it's my will, what?
That all men might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth.
He said, look, I'm going to make this. You remember, you know how the manna was? You know how the manna was in the Old Testament? Where was it?
On the ground.
You know what? They didn't have to. You know what? They went out there. It was right there. You know where the quail was when they wanted the meat? They weren't flying high up in the tree. They was right there. You know what? You just grab it. You know what? You know where this truth is?
And nowadays, everybody's got it right here, too.
And on your phone, the technology, you know what? You don't have an excuse.
So true.
He said, because God, you know what? God made it available. He said, because this is what I want. He said, I want you to be saved.
And.
And I want you to know what I'm doing. Okay, God. I'm saved. Could you say that with all security and conviction? And I know how I got it.
Yes.
He said, if you can't, he said, that's okay. It's still what? It's still what I want. That's why he put people in your way. That's why you learn to get in people's way. So you can say, listen, are you saved?
Well, you told us how Noah would get saved.
Yeah,
you told us how
saved.
Jesus would get saved, but you still hadn't told us how Paul.
We right there. We right there.
Okay.
He said, and
come to the knowledge of the truth.
So you meet a guy, Jesus. Are you saved, brother?
How you know?
How you know? Or you say, okay, that's great. Now, do you know what the truth is?
Well, I thought the truth was saved.
I guarantee you he go.
What you talking about?
He said, don't worry about that. He said this. Sometimes they say this. They get ahead of the game. And you go in and say, you know what the truth is? And he said, yeah. Truth's what I believe. And he said, well, wait a minute. You know, when Jesus was with Pilate, he says, are you a king? And Jesus said, for this in came out into the world to bear witness to the truth. You know what Pilate said?
What is truth?
What is truth? He said, your truth, my truth. What is truth? It's what I believe. You know what? After a while, Pilate's truth turned to Jesus' truth. Because Jesus' truth was what? The truth.
The truth.
Now, where are we at here? We're still in Corinthians, right? 2. I'm going to pick it up a little bit here. Verse 8. 2:8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what?
Know the things that are freely given to us of God.
That you might know, there's that knowledge again. He said the reason when you get saved and you have the Holy Spirit, the reason I give it to you is that you might know what?
True.
Look, do you know when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't talking about 6 days later, 40 days later. I'm talking about the moment you believe, it's a spiritual transaction that takes place. You believe, look, Christ died for my sins. Buried, rose again the third day. That's salvation. If you believe that, he was your substitute. Here you are. Here you are. Here you are. Here you are. You get the picture, right? He says, he died. For all of us. Mm-hmm. When he died, one person owned it. When he died, she died.
We all died.
Okay. She added in there. She died too. Anybody else want to get in on that? All right. All right. When he died, you know what? So he took
our sin.
Wait a minute. All of them?
Yes.
Every one of them.
Even the ones we have committed.
Everybody.
Every.
All y'all.
That's a lot, ain't it?
That's a lot of sin.
Matter of fact, he said he came into the world to do that.
Yeah.
Know who told you that?
Mm-hmm.
You know who told you that?
Paul explained this.
That's right. The apostle did. He told you that. Okay. But he says, you get the Spirit that you might know the things that are freely given to you. The moment you look, he takes your sins, puts them on him. He pays for them. The wages of sin is.
Yeah.
All right. But God raises him up because the sacrifice was acceptable.
He was raised for our
justification. He said, look, when you can say, you know what? You owe me for your sin. And you say, you know what? I paid. You're like, no, you didn't. You still are walking around. He said, here's the trick. He said, I paid in Christ. Huh? Yeah. He paid for me. I believe I'm in him. I died with him. I was buried with him. God raised him up. Guess what? He raised me up with him.
All right,
now. Well, what happened to your sin? They've been paid for. He said, you know what? You believe that? No wrath. No punishment. No more to pay. Oh, that's great. Let's go home.
Not yet. Just the beginning.
He said, "Nah, that's just half of it." See, that's some truth, which is a great truth, salvation, right? He said, "But there's more to it." Now, not just that part, but he says, "You got the Spirit, right?" He said, I've given you the Spirit. Listen, how many books in the scripture? 66 books. Of what? Do you think he just wants you to know some truth? Most of it.
The complete picture.
Yeah, the whole history of the truth.
Listen, he said, I want you to know how wise I am. He said, if I did something before the beginning of the world and it didn't, I just revealed it. He said, I want you to be acquainted with it. What's back there? Otherwise, you won't appreciate what you have up here. I think about this as when renters rent, you know why they don't take care of the property?
They don't have ownership.
They got nothing invested in it. They don't know what it takes to get there or to keep it. They got no skin in it. But when you go back, you say, you know what, that cost my Savior a lot. And he's like, you know what, I just get acquainted with what I did. What I put into it. You know what? You ever wrote him a letter?
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, we got to talk, man. But you say you typed it.
Yeah.
everything.
Well, I mean, you ever send him a love letter?
No, a text.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. But you got some form of communication. Okay. She's technical, huh? I sent him a text message in small letters in the 12 font. Okay, I'm just kidding. No. But when you get it, you know what? Because you love her, you don't just delete it when you see, oh, that's from Tiffany. What do?
Read it.
Yeah, you read it.
Yeah, read it.
And you know what? You might lunch break. You get to the house. Because it's what? It's her truth. And you read it like, you know, you know what? Next thing you'll be like, you're going to show somebody like, look. I'm like, who is that from? That's from Tiffany. Well, that's what God is saying. He said, look, he says, I love you. I did a lot. He said, now, my will is for you not just to be saved, but then to find out how much I did. Find out how much I did. I guarantee you, if you read it once, you're going to smile. You're going to be like, yeah, I got to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
And you read it again, you're like, wow. And then after a while, you'll be like, let me show you something, Blake. And you're like, ooh.
Not just what he did, but what he's doing and what he intends to do.
That's the past, the present, and the future, yes. He said, you know what? Don't tell me you can't learn it because I made sure you could.
Mm-hmm.
How did he do that?
By his spirit.
That he put where?
In us.
At the church.
No, in me.
No, at the building.
In me.
Don't they say, I feel the spirit in here today?
That's
what?
In
where? So you think when you leave the pew, guess what?
See you next week.
Okay, bye, Holy Spirit.
See you. So when you get home, that's your excuse. When you get home, like, I don't understand that. I don't know what he's talking about. No, he said, wait a minute. I believe. He said, I put it in you that you might know the things that are what?
Freely given.
Ooh, freely given to you of God. Chapter 2 of Timothy. We're going to stop here. He says, for this is good, 2:3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He says, there's your salvation right there. Okay? He says, there's your salvation. It comes through what? One man. And we know that man is what? Okay. Now, he says, whereunto? He said, this man has saved us, and this is his testimony. This is what he has to say. Paul said, whereunto? Unto that testimony. He says, I'm ordained a what? A preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and what? So here's what he says. He says, one man is your salvation. He gave a testimony to this man. I didn't make that up. You're reading it. He said, and that testimony, he said, it's truth, verity, it's factual, it's true, it's really true, He said, that's why he made me what? A teacher.
And an apostle.
And what?
An apostle.
And what?
Preacher.
And a preacher. Right?
And a pattern.
And a pattern. Yes. See, look. There's your salvation. There's your edification.
What is that? I can't read that last part.
What? This?
Yeah. Preacher.
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 He says, that's why Paul, he says, I'm a to you, to the Gentiles. Did you know you were a Gentile? Did you know you were a Gentile?
He was a pattern.
Guess what? You're a Gentile. Not because I said so, because that's anything but a Jew.
And he was a pattern because...
He was a pattern because...
You're not going to teach it.
You brought it up.
Well, he was a pattern because he had done all things against the Lord, and the Lord saved him in his mercy. It wasn't by anything he did to earn salvation.
Right.
In spite of all things that he did.
In spite. He's a... Anybody could be saved.
Yeah.
You know why people don't get saved?
Because they don't know the truth.
Because they know that they'll have to give up the things that they enjoy.
Yeah.
Because they, you know what? Because
they think they have to earn it. Yeah. They don't believe.
Because they believe something else.
That's not true. Yeah.
They believe something else. You know, they say, why are you not saved? You say, I believe whatever it is. And what you believe, it won't line up with his truth. So you won't get saved. And you know why they don't come to the knowledge of the truth? Because they say, I believe something else. And it don't line up with what's written today. Now this, look, that is a... In an hour is something that you will be learning for a lifetime. So, you know what? Like my grandmother used to say, I'm going to tell you some stuff. She said, "Just you don't understand it, just put it on the shelf." Because after a while, you know what? It's going to come around. You're going to say, that guy said something that one night. Remember that night where he talked about Paul was our apostle? Where you put that thing? You're going to grab that truth and you're going to say, you know what? He was right. Not I was right. The book is right. And you're going to take that and that'll be the key. Now, thank you guys for coming out. She got all the answers. You live by her? Oh, I thought y'all lived close. You got a number?
I go to school, and she's my teacher.
So. Oh, that's close enough. She can help you if you got... Or, you know what? You're always welcome to come back and join us.
Absolutely.
And, like I said, we appreciate having you. So let's stop here. We're going to close out in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We pray tonight that something was read and something was said that would strengthen us and encourage us and educate us in Christ. And we know that it's your will that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Lord, we just pray that this message would not be hindered tonight, that we might embrace it and believe it, and that it might bring forth fruit to your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.